Good afternoon. The time is 2:06. Currently, some sunshine out there. Fair skies. Temperature of 16 degrees, but a wind chill factor of 1 degree at our studios on East Wausau Avenue in Wausau. I am Chad Holmes, and it is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Coming up in just a few minutes at 2:15, we'll be joined by 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland, a Democrat from Stevens Point, talking about what is going on in the state legislature, talk about the budget, tax policy, shared revenue, health care coverage, big issues. We're going to talk to Representative Katrina Shankland coming up in just a few minutes at 2:15 here on today's program. Also coming up a little bit later on in this hour, I think an outrage occurring in the U.S. House of Representatives today. Ilhan Omar, the representative from Minnesota, has been taken off the Foreign Affairs Committee by Republicans led by Kevin McCarthy. Every Republican voted to remove Representative Omar from Foreign Affairs. And going to hear some comments made on the floor of the House, but it's a case, frankly, of anti-Muslim racism and just, again, what Republicans are trying to accomplish right now on the floor of the U.S. House. So we're going to talk about that coming up a little later in this hour. Coming up in the next hour, we'll have some... last night, had a chance to talk to another terrific young student athlete from our area, Grant Warren from Marathon High School. He has been one of the best basketball players in the area this year. Had him last night on our big high school sports show. Well, here's part of the comments that Grant Warren had with Jeff Gress and myself in the second hour of the program as well. Also, just want to let you know that there is going to be a wind chill advisory for our listening area starting tonight. Yeah, it's going to get cold. It's going to be very, very, very cold tonight into tomorrow morning for the morning commute. So if you have children who are going to be out at the bus stop tomorrow morning, if you're heading off to work tomorrow morning, be aware. It's going to be exceptionally cold, bitterly cold tomorrow. A wind chill advisory will go into effect at 6 p.m. this evening. Will go until 12 noon tomorrow. In fact, temperatures have already started to drop. They're going to continue to drop later this afternoon into the evening and into the overnight and morning hours. Very cold wind chills are expected. Wind chills as low as 30 to 35 below zero for Marathon, Portage, Wood, Langlade, Lincoln, Oneida, Vilas, Florence, and Forest counties. And these dangerously cold wind chills could cause frostbite on exposed skin in as little as 20 minutes. So again, use caution while traveling outside. Wear appropriate clothing, a hat, and gloves as well. So again, wind chill advisory in effect from 6 p.m. this evening until noon on Friday for the Bow Falls Radio 98.9 listening area. Also, going to talk a little bit later on, just today, not one, but two separate snowmobile accidents again in the Northwoods of Wisconsin. I talked about this last week. I talked about this in connection with, I think, what has become a lot more dangerous driving generally, and we're seeing more of it on the snowmobile trails as well. Going to give you information on what happened late this morning, early this afternoon up in Vilas County with not one but two snowmobile crashes. And again, talk about what we can do to make things safer on the snowmobile trails and what we can do to make things safer on the roads as well, because I think there's a little bit too much of this going on right now, and to see not one but two major incidents. And again, there was just partial information coming in a little bit earlier, and it sounded very, very serious. So I'm going to discuss that a little bit later on as well. So a full slate here today between now and 4 p.m. on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. And also want to remind you that tonight we do have high school girls basketball as the Wausau West Warriors take on the Wisconsin Rapids Lincoln Red Raiders. I'll be at the Wausau West High School Fieldhouse tonight, starting with the pregame show at 7 p.m. and then the opening tip at 7:15. That's Wausau West Girls Hoops taking on Wisconsin Rapids right here on your home for high school sports. And again, I've said it before and I'll say it again, very, very proud of Civic Media that we here at Bow Falls Radio, the only WASA radio station that still provides what I think is vitally important, live coverage of high school athletics with WASA West, New McCathic, and Marathon right here on Bow Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Well, coming up, we're going to take a very quick timeout, and then we will come back and have as our guest for the next segment, 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland. Again, Katrina Shankland coming up, the Democrat from Stevens Point. We'll be talking about the issues that she is working on right now in Madison. That's coming up next. It is a Thursday. I am Chad Holmes, and it is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Welcome back. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, online at BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And very happy right now to welcome back to the program the 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland of Stevens Point back to the program. And again, Representative, thank you for spending a few minutes with us.
Thanks so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Now we're back. The elections are in the rearview mirror, back into the governing aspect of the job. And, of course, the new session down in Madison has gotten underway, had the inaugurations recently, but now back to work. And, of course, a lot of issues on the plate right now for everybody in Madison. I wanted to talk to about a few of them. I guess to start off, of course, one of the, I think, the big topics coming up here is the state budget. And as I'm sure you well know, and everybody well knows, that budgets are about priorities. And as we start the process, what are the biggest priorities for you when it comes to the state budget?
Absolutely. I think first and foremost, we want to make sure Wisconsinites' quality of life improves or at a minimum stays the same. We don't want to do any harm. And I've seen a few policies already being proposed that would gut our state budget and our ability to make ends meet at a time when we already have a record surplus. And so I think we should use that state surplus wisely. I don't think we should use all of it, but I certainly think we should be returning some of that money back to the people in the form of shared revenue payments to our local governments. One of the issues I talked about and heard from voters the most on the campaign trail this fall and summer and spring was cost of property taxes. And we know that they have been going up. That affects both homeowners as well as renters who end up paying part of the cost of the increase in property taxes as renters. And this is at a time when communities have been going to referendum. I think 20 across the state were successful in going to referendum for basic public safety services like police, fire, and EMS in the last year. That does not seem right at a time when we have almost a $7 billion projected surplus at the state level. So we should certainly be restoring, returning some of those funds back to our local communities so they can continue to do what they do best, which is providing local public safety services, making sure that our garbage is picked up, making sure that we have clean drinking water if we're part of a municipal utility. And so I think all of that would be a great place to start. That's something that I'm looking at in addition to funding higher education and public schools, pre-K onward. We have to do everything possible to make sure everyone has the best quality education available in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and within those priorities that you've just articulated, a number of the issues will be major discussion points between the governor and the parties, both houses in Madison. Let's kind of delve into a couple of them. You mentioned about taxes, and I think, when you talk about taxes, there's no different areas of taxation. There are different areas where you can affect policy when it comes to taxes. And of course, I think one of the areas that's been talked about a lot in terms of whether the printed word or within folks in Madison is the proposal that's out there that wants to make a flat income tax, basically really lower tax rates across the board. And obviously it would take a lot towards the upper income levels. But you kind of touched on it, that there are different ways you can affect tax policy. And I imagine that would be the discussion that you would want to have as opposed maybe than a flat tax. Am I correct?
Absolutely. That's exactly why I'm talking about property tax reform so readily, because Wisconsin is one of the states that relies heavily on property taxes, and I know there are so many people who are working hard to make ends meet, and they're going to the polls, and they're dutifully voting to raise their own taxes to pay for basic government services like public safety and to pay for their kids' education. But the point is, they shouldn't have to continue to raise their own taxes when the state has the money to not only fund public safety and local government services like garbage pickup and, you know, paving roads, but they also have the money to fund our public schools in a way that we don't need to rely on referenda like we have the last decade. And I feel like we're finally getting out of austerity measures under the previous governor, and it's wonderful to have Governor Evers back for a second term as the education governor. He's been a champion of public education, so I know we can count on him to advocate for both public schools as well as making sure anyone who wants to get an apprenticeship at a high school, a registered apprenticeship after high school, who wants to go to technical college or a university can do so and can afford to do so. So I know he's a champion of access to all forms of education, and I am too. I want to make sure we're focusing on that, and we certainly have the money to fund this sustainably while also delivering fair tax relief. And for me, fair tax relief isn't asking those who make the most to pay the least. I think most people would say, looking at the Republicans' flat tax plan, is it worth gutting the budget at a cost of about $5.5 billion a year, which, you know, over 2 years, that's how much we pay for the whole UW system in order to get a $37 tax cut for Wisconsin's lowest four tax brackets? Probably not. So down the road, should we be looking at ways to return money to the people? Absolutely. If we're running a surplus, we should, but we should do it fairly. And the governor has previously proposed, and I know will continue to propose, a middle-class tax cut, which I think is the fairer way to do things. But I'll continue to also push for property tax reform so that our schools and our local units of government don't need to rely unduly on property tax referenda, raising your own property taxes to deliver basic government services. That's the function of government. That's what our tax dollars are already there for. We should be allocating those to the core services of government first.
What are you hearing from the other side? Because in terms of education funding, I know that you talked about it very, very well right there. The governor has talked about it, but when I hear Speaker Voss talk about it, about, you know, having, I wish I had the proper terminology on my lips right here, but there's caveats, I guess I would put it. What is the discussions? What are you hearing right now when it comes to education? Because you're exactly right. It goes back more than a decade now where schools have been falling behind in terms of the revenue because of the policies led by the previous governor and other members of government. What's the talk right now when it comes to education funding? Because there are obviously very different priorities, I think, between the two parties.
Right. I believe that early on in negotiations, the speaker had said publicly he wanted the governor to look at universal school choice. And the governor said both flat tax or universal school choice proposals could threaten the state budget in terms of it getting done in a bipartisan way. And what I appreciate about the governor is he actually said that we have to start with a notion that we'll reach conclusions and that, you know, we'll go back and forth on this. He's planning on signing a good budget. And I think that's where we should all stand as lawmakers and the executive branch. I think we should want to work together. What I appreciate about our first day on Inauguration Day, both the governor when he was sworn in and then the speaker on our assembly inauguration session day said the same thing. They actually welcomed new ideas. They said, let's work together. And I take that seriously. I met with both of them. I'll continue to do so. I want to keep an open mind. But what I'll say is we cannot threaten long-term sustainable funding for our schools. We cannot run a deficit legally. You know, we are required to manage a balanced budget, and I support that. But we also have to make sure any tax reform that's on the table is truly benefiting the average person in Wisconsin. And so gutting future state budgets to pay for a 37 tax cut is not going to cut it for me. I think there's more responsible ways to do things. And what I would like to start with from where I'm sitting is supporting Governor Evers' tax cut, supporting his proposed $100 million shared revenue payment specifically for police, fire, and EMS, which is fantastic. And then long-term looking at a new shared revenue formula that benefits rural areas like my community, and having real conversations about how we can make sure seniors can stay in their homes, people on fixed income can stay in their homes, because relying on referenda to fund local government services and schools is not a long-term solution. And so I recognize we may not be able to get that done in the next 6 months, but I think it's fair for people like me to push for long-term solutions and to have those conversations among both parties. And in the meantime, what I would love to do is ask constituents and people across Wisconsin to provide their own ideas as well. If the majority of voters want to see a middle-class tax cut that benefits the average working family or average senior in Wisconsin, then let's do that, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where I'm at. I really enjoy the opportunity to hear from people and find that, you know, the average person, if you were to ask them on the street, what is your solution for taxes, would probably say, honestly, hold me harmless. Just don't increase them. Keep property taxes flat. And I completely agree with that. I think what we should be trying to do, looking at this record surplus, is use that money to fix the funding problems that we have with local government, increase shared revenue, and try to keep property taxes as flat as possible so people can stay in their homes and renters don't continue to face significant increases in rent.
And I would like to ask again, now that, you know, past elections and back into work, has there been any movement on changes to the 1849 abortion law that's now in effect in Wisconsin? Or is that something that will have to come through the courts? Are you hearing anything that shows any kind of movement to fix what obviously is an ancient law that really doesn't work right now? Or is that something that's going to have to continue to be worked through in the court system as opposed to a legislative change?
I think there are multiple approaches. So the first week of session, there was a press conference announcing that we would be introducing an amendment and a referendum to call for a constitutional amendment to guarantee access to reproductive rights and abortion care. And since then, we introduced Democratic legislators. I'm not sure if any Republicans have signed on, to be clear. I believe it's just Democratic legislators introduced an advisory referendum resolution to call for the voters to decide. And we think that that's important since we've seen other resolutions go forward asking voters for wedge issues. But we know that this is not a wedge issue. We want voters to weigh in. We know the majority of people in Wisconsin and nationally do not support criminalizing abortion. They do not support jailing medical providers. They do not support fining them $10,000 and putting them in prison for 9 months. And unfortunately, that's what would happen under our 1849 law. We've seen in other states like Michigan, where they put abortion on the ballot, that abortion resoundingly won. People want access to reproductive rights. And we know that the Dobbs decision could potentially affect our access to birth control, our right to privacy, liberty, and choice, and it could even affect marriage equality down the road based on how they wrote the Dobbs decision and what they said in it. So I'm concerned. I'm going to continue advocating for restoring Roe v. Wade and codifying it on the state level. I will co-sponsor any bill that does that, as I have in the past. I have been trying to have conversations with my colleagues across the aisle about this. I know they're all over the board on this position, and some of them might be interested in having a conversation about exceptions. But at the end of the day, I don't think that's enough when we know when medical providers face jail time for providing a life-saving abortion care, if they perform it at the wrong moment, and it isn't considered life-saving yet, that is going to stop people from performing any form of abortion service altogether, as it has in Wisconsin. And that affects women who are miscarrying, who have ectopic pregnancies, and so much more. And that, to me, is really astounding to know that that's happening here in Wisconsin in 2023. And we have a moral obligation to fix that and to ensure access to health care for everyone in our state moving forward. So I will continue to have those conversations. But in the meantime, what I'll say is I'm committed to introducing another bipartisan birth control access bill. I have talked to my Republican colleagues about it. I have a bill to provide up to 12 months of birth control at one time at the pharmacy, and I'm really hoping to get it across the finish line this session.
Representative Katrina Shankland, thank you very much for joining us, and I hope to have you back on sometime soon.
Thank you so much.
And welcome back to At Home Show on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Thanks to 71st Assembly District Representative Katrina Shankland for coming on the program for the last segment. Again, a Democratic representative representing Portage County. Today, there was also activity going on the floor of the United States House of Representatives. And you can see right now what the Republicans are going to do with their majority. One thing they're voting on is to say that socialism is bad. A complete waste of time. Vote. And I actually have some thoughts on that, which I'll get to later in the program. But also today, there was a vote on the House of Representatives floor to remove Representative Ilhan Omar from her seat on the Foreign Affairs Committee. And it turned into a very partisan move by the Republicans. And let's listen to some of the sound, because I think we can learn what's going on right now, because Representative Omar was very forceful in her own defense. And I hate to use the word defense, because this is just a baloney move by Kevin McCarthy and the racist Republican Party right now. But here's what Representative Omar had to say about this whole situation of her being forced off the Foreign Affairs Committee.
This debate today, it's about who gets to be an American. What opinions do we get to have, do we have to be counted as Americans? This is what this debate is about, Madam Speaker. There is this idea that you are a suspect if you are an immigrant, or if you are from certain parts of the world, or a certain skin tone, or a Muslim. It is no accident that members of the Republican Party accused the first Black President Barack Obama of being a secret Muslim. It is no accident that former President Donald Trump led a birther movement that falsely claimed he was born in Kenya. Because to them, falsely labeling the first and only President of the United States of America a Muslim and African immigrant somehow made him less American. Well, I am Muslim. I am an immigrant, and interestingly, from Africa. Is anyone surprised that I am being targeted? Is anyone surprised that I am somehow deemed unworthy to speak about American foreign policy? Or that they see me as a powerful voice that needs to be silenced? Frankly, it is expected, because when you push power, power pushes back. Representation matters. Continuing to expand our ideas of who is American and who can partake in the American experiment is a good thing. I am an American who was sent here. An American who was sent here by her constituents to represent them in Congress, a refugee who survived the horrors of a civil war, someone who spent her childhood in a refugee camp, someone who knows what it means to have a...
Representative Omar again speaking on the House floor today as Republicans ousted her. They did. They ousted her from the Foreign Affairs Committee. And she was right on so many of the points she just made. And I'm glad she brought up what the GOP and conservatives said about President Obama and about muzzling her, basically. May agree, may disagree on certain foreign affairs issues with Representative Omar. I know Democrats, some of which disagree with some of the foreign affairs thoughts that Representative Omar has. But this, again, you talk about, you know, un-American. This is an un-American move by Kevin McCarthy and the Republicans. Every Republican voted to remove her from that committee. And again, it's not just about agreeing or disagreeing. And I think some good comments were made by Dean Phillips. He's also a congressman, also from the state of Minnesota, also a Democrat, but at times has had issues with Representative Omar. This is what Representative Omar's colleague, Dean Phillips, said on the floor of the House as well today.
Ilhan Omar and I are products of remarkably different life experiences. Hers began by fleeing civil war in Somalia before immigrating to the United States after 4 years in a Kenyan refugee camp, an experience that few, if any of us in this room could possibly imagine. My family came to America a century before hers, seeking the same safety, security, and opportunity as they fled Russian pogroms targeting Jewish people in Eastern Europe. And my life began by losing my father in the Vietnam War, an American tragedy that may well have been prevented had this very chamber been filled with more voices like Ilhan Omar's. Now, don't get me wrong. Representative Omar and I regularly disagree on policy, both domestic and foreign. And she has at times used words that have caused concern, offense, and even personal pain to me and others. She and I have spoken face to face on those occasions, and she has apologized, and she continues to learn from those missteps. Furthermore, she has never posted a video depicting herself decapitating and killing fellow members of Congress. She doesn't question whether a plane really smashed in to the Pentagon on 9/11. She does not wonder if school shootings in America are staged. She has not propagated the absurd notion that space lasers financed by the Rothschild family are the cause of wildfires in California. She has never equated vaccine mandates with Adolf Hitler. And she has never, ever expressed support for executing leaders of the United States Congress. Now, being a conspiracy theorist alone is not grounds for removal from committees, I'll admit that. But depicting violence or supporting violence against fellow members of Congress is grounds for removal, be it a Democrat or a Republican. But no one has accused Representative Omar of depicting or supporting violence against anyone in this chamber. So why will 90% of Jewish members of the United States House of Representatives vote to maintain her committee assignment? Quite simply, because we believe in the human capacity to learn from mistakes.
That's Dean Phillips, congressman from Minnesota, colleague of Representative Omar. And quite a list there that he mentioned that Republicans such as Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and others have made, and they are getting rewarded by Kevin McCarthy. They are getting rewarded by Kevin McCarthy for what they've been saying on the House floor and outside the House floor as well. And that is a point that is made again very eloquently by Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the congresswoman from the state of New York, who has been such a bright vision for, number one, youth, I think. I think this government needs a big dose of youth, and Representative Ocasio-Cortez has brought that, but also her perspective, somebody that's worked for a living. somebody of color who knows what it, she knows what to listen for. And AOC came to the floor today and gave some powerful words in response to what's going on.
Also, as a fellow New Yorker, I think one of the things that we should talk about here is also one of the disgusting legacies after 9/11 has been the targeting and racism against Muslim Americans throughout the United States of America. And this is an extension of that legacy. Consistency, there is nothing consistent with the Republican Party's continued attack, except for the racism and incitement of violence against women of color in this body. I had a member of the Republican caucus threaten my life, and you all and the Republican caucus rewarded him with one of the most prestigious committee assignments in this Congress. Don't tell me this is about consistency. Don't tell me that this is about an a condemnation of anti-Semitic remarks when you have a member of the Republican caucus who has talked about Jewish space lasers and an entire amount of tropes and also elevated her to some of the highest committee assignments in this body. This is about targeting women of color in the United States of America. Don't tell me, because I didn't get a single apology.
Time has expired.
My life was threatened. Thank you.
Powerful. And she's right. Kevin McCarthy and the other Republicans have no use for women or people of color, of Muslims, anybody that is different from themselves. And again, this is a disgrace. And the point as well needs to be made that the people who keep putting these disgraces into the Congress need to look themselves in the mirror. And I know that in this era, we have very safely drawn lines. It's not just Wisconsin that has a gerrymandering issue. It's an issue around the country. But still, the people that decide that they want these bigoted people leading them, representing them, is just as big a problem as what we see with the vote on the floor of the House as well. And just to show again how ridiculous this whole situation is, getting to the floor of the Congress to say, bravo, bravo, Republicans, the one and only, one of the newest members of Congress, George Santos. Here's what the man who has a very, very loose relationship with the truth had to say after this.
Mr. Speaker, today I rise to congratulate my colleagues on voting to remove Representative Ilhan Omar from the Foreign Affairs Committee. The passage of H.R. 76 sends a strong message that we support Israel and the Jewish community. I urge the 118th Congress to now stand together, proudly upholding every single American, no matter race, pedigree, religion, nor creed, as any less American than their neighbor. That Jewish Americans are patriotic Americans, and that we all have a role in fighting bigotry and anti-Semitism in our country. We must make sure that the House of Representatives reflects such principles as a united body. I yield back.
The idea that he is up there saying that all religions and all races need to be treated the same way and treated with the respect they deserve after this vote was a vote against a Muslim person of color, a woman, is, you know, very George Santos-esque. Again, what happened today is another stain on the Republican Party. And you know, the thing that really is amazing is they still claim Abraham Lincoln. Abraham Lincoln wouldn't be anywhere near the Republican Party anymore. Abraham Lincoln believed in things back in the 19th century that people in the 21st century in the Republican Party and the conservative movement don't believe in. The people that are the backbone of the Republican Party would have been fighting for the Confederacy and fighting against Abraham Lincoln back in 1861. So again, I just found just a disgusting display on the floor of Congress today in Washington, D.C. Have to take a quick time out. Going to come back. talk about those snowmobile incidents. I'm going to try to find out some late information on that. But again, it's very concerning. We've seen quite a few of these snowmobile incidents so far this winter. I want to kind of discuss that again briefly before we get to the top of the hour. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
We'll marry our fortunes together. I've got some real estate here in my bag. So we put a pack of cigarettes on Mrs. Wagner's pie.
Chad Holmes Show on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Time is 2:51. Good Thursday afternoon. Got to mention briefly here, it was announced today who will be giving the Republican response to President Joe Biden's State of the Union address, which will be next Tuesday night. Yes. I'm sure some of you have heard, but let's think about who do you think the Republicans will be putting up to give the response to President Biden? Well, I'm going to give you the answer. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders. She served as White House press secretary under Donald Trump and spewed out lie after lie from the podium of the White House during her tenure there for the most truth-challenged president we've ever seen in this country's history. Well, Republican Party leaders announced today Sarah Huckabee Sanders will be responding to the president. And according to a Reuters report, I think this is generous. Huckabee Sanders, who describes herself as a conservative reformer. Conservative reformer. I have a feeling that Donald Trump made a call to Kevin McCarthy saying this is the person that needs to be doing the response. A joint announcement was given by McCarthy and Senate Republican leader Mitch McConnell. They heralded Sanders as a rising figure in the party. Holy cow. Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders is the youngest governor in the nation and a powerful advocate for the popular common sense conservative principles that will put our country back on a better course, McConnell said. She was the press secretary for Trump from mid-2017 to mid-2019. Oh, man. I don't think I'll have the stomach to listen to that response next Tuesday night. That's all I'll say. Let's turn the page a little away from politics for a few. Today, I just saw a report earlier this afternoon. Two snowmobile crashes in a 90-minute span midday in Vilas County. And again, last week I was talking about just the way that folks right now are traveling, I think, more dangerously, both in terms of vehicles, and we've seen a number of these incidents as well with snowmobilers. According to scanner reports, two people were injured in a head-on crash with two sleds involved. This is the second crash. The crash was reported at about noon today near Snipe Lake in St. Germain. Two people were reported unconscious at the scene with CPR in progress as rescue crews arrived. A landing zone was being established as of 12:13 p.m. with a medical helicopter en route. And that was the second of the two today in Vilas County. The first crash was reported at about 10:45 a.m. on a trail at Fred Luke Road in Plum Lake. One person, a man, was injured in the crash. The extent of his injuries is not clear as well. So, again, it looks like significant injuries. When you have CPR being done on a victim of this second crash, you know it was serious. But, again, I just think we need to talk a little bit about this, that we need to be safer out there. We need to be safer on the roads. We need to be safer on the snowmobile trails. And I know I sound like an old hen here just shaking my finger, but I've seen it. I travel a lot for my work. I travel a lot to go to sports broadcasts throughout Wisconsin. You know, not all my games are like they are tonight at Wausau West. I travel across the state, north, south, east, west. And over the years, I have been noticing that there are a lot more people that really are leadfoots and are doing more dangerous things on the roads. And when you read some of these stories, and again, the story last week about the snowmobile that is crossing a road and gets hit by a truck, it tells me that he didn't even look. And for the people that are leadfoot and trying to get somewhere so much quicker, when you think about it, when you talk about a long drive, say you have a two-hour drive, or say you have to go 120 miles or 130 miles, like going to Madison, maybe a little longer. If you go 10 miles per hour faster, you'll get there 20 minutes earlier. I mean, yeah, 20 minutes, I guess, is significant for some people, but in the big picture, is it really that significant? And for shorter rides, you know, if you have a half-hour trip and you're going as fast as you can, how much time are you going to save? 2 minutes at the most? So, again, I shake my head when I see days like this where you don't have one but two significant snowmobile crashes. Be a little bit safer. Be just a little bit safer when you're out there traveling, whether on a snowmobile, in a car, in a truck, whatever it may be. That's just my editorial comment here to wrap up hour number one of the program. Coming up in the second hour of the show, we'll hear from our meteorologist, Ray Miller, talk about what's going to be a very cold next day or so. There is a wind chill advisory that will go into effect for our Bow Falls radio listening area starting at 6 p.m. this evening, going until noon tomorrow. Wind chills as low as 30 to 35 below zero tonight and into the morning drive tomorrow. So, again, we'll have more details on that. And also we'll hear an interview that I and Jeff Gress had last night with another terrific student-athlete. I love to pass these along because there are so many good student-athletes out there, good young people doing great things. And we'll hear some comments with Grant Warren coming up in the next hour as well. It is coming up on 2:58. Glad you could spend a little time with me here on this Thursday. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show. Another hour still to come here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bowfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO.